You may have heard of revenge porn. An unsuspecting person, usually a woman, dates someone. Maybe they share a few nude photos meant just for the two of them. But when they break up, those photos suddenly appear online with vicious copy encouraging the vicious harassment that follows. There are now 33 states plus the District of Columbia that have laws protecting people from this, but there are loopholes and there's no federal law. Carrie Goldberg is a Brooklyn-based lawyer who's been defending victims of revenge porn. She's a leader in this relatively new field of sexual privacy. She heads the law firm C.A. Goldberg and joins us now. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, happy to be here.
And start with your own connection to this. You were threatened with this, weren't you?
Yes, I was originally a target. Many of my clients' cases begin with the words, "I met him on the internet," and my story was actually no different. And I became somebody's target after leaving a relationship. And as soon as I resolved my problem using kind of combination of creativity and law enforcement, I decided I was going to become the lawyer I really needed when I was going through my crisis.
Well, let's just flesh that out a little bit. You were a professional. You were working as director of legal services at the Vera Institute, a criminal justice nonprofit in Manhattan. You had shared intimate photos with this man you were dating. It was threatened that they'd be put online. I know you want to talk about the women that you're now representing and this overall issue, but what is your understanding from that experience of how people feel when this happens? You know, it sounds like a combination of shame, but also rage and helplessness.
Well, there's shame, there's rage, there's helplessness. There's an attitude that the person who shared the images is some sort of sexual deviant and should have known better and should have seen the red flags. Really, in my practice, I'm here to tell the world that we are all a moment away from meeting somebody who's malicious and who's intent on taking us down. And whether that's through the use of intimate pictures or lies, the internet is this magnificent tool for malicious people to destroy one another's lives.
And that's one of the complications with the field of revenge porn. I'll list a few things. First of all, it doesn't necessarily have to be pictures that you've taken and shared with someone. You had a client that we read about in a terrific piece by Margaret Talbot in The New Yorker, who he just put her face picture. There were no intimate pictures. He insinuated that there were, and he said things about her on a porn site that were completely untrue. She had never taken photographs. And as Margaret Talbot points out, there are a lot of people who take photos of each other with today's technology, and that can be a beautiful part of a healthy romance. So there are a lot of complicating factors here. You can't assume anything about what's happened when a revenge porn case happens.
That's exactly true. I have clients who've never taken a naked picture in their life. Their face is photoshopped onto a porn star's body. I have a 13-year-old client who was engaged in a sexual act at a party, and another 13-year-old took the picture, and then he circulated it around their entire school.
You would think, when you read some of these cases, you think, well, that's got to be illegal. How can someone send you a private picture, and then that gets posted on a website? Where are we legally?
At this point, we're 33 states, plus Washington, D.C., plus Puerto Rico, have criminal laws where it's illegal criminally to take a picture that exposes somebody else's private parts or a sexual act and distribute it. But that still leaves us with 17 states where it's completely legal for me to take a picture of you and broadcast it all over the internet for everybody to see, for me to create a website that's in your first and last name and just dedicate it to exposing pictures of you.
Well, even when there is a law, are there loopholes in those laws? For instance, we understood that you had a proof that the person who was accused of disseminating pictures had to communicate directly with the victim. Does there have to be a threat of dissemination? How do these laws work?
Well, just as we have 33 laws, we have 33 different laws. Some of them require that there be this intent to harass. And usually our harassment laws require that there be this direct communication and this pattern of conduct. Other laws just recognize that this is a privacy violation, and if the victim had an expectation of privacy when she shared the image, then it's a violation of the law for it to be shared, period.
And in cases where you've had clients and, you know, somebody has taken a photo that they sent, or in the case of Connie, the client who had her face superimposed on other bodies and put on these porn sites, What happens when you go to the police in a state where there isn't a law? Do they just say there's nothing we can do? I mean,
that's one of the biggest frustrations that clients have, is they think that they can go to the police and that they will be protected. But the police, you know, kind of have blinders on. They say, oh, well, you're telling me about revenge porn. Well, we don't have a revenge porn law. They know enough to know that. And then they send the person on the way. Unfortunately, though, they're not asking other questions. They're not asking, well, you know, did he also contact you? Many, many times, you know, clients are receiving hundreds and hundreds of texts and emails and threats. They're not asking, you know, were you of age when that picture was taken? Because it could trigger child pornography laws. Did you know the picture was taken? That could trigger unlawful surveillance laws. So often the right questions are not being asked, which would trigger criminal protection using other laws, sort of a backdoor entrance into getting the offender prosecuted.
Yeah. Well, you have been one of those trying to kick down some of these doors. The New Yorker called you a pioneer in this field of sexual privacy. The Forward named you, if I may, a kick-ass Jewish woman of the day. And you were instrumental in getting companies like Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Google to also have policies about revenge porn. So how does that work? Because you can go through legal avenues to the state, but you can go directly to the companies that are carrying the websites. How does that work?
Well, so I'm a board member at the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative, which has just been the champion of revenge porn reformation. So we've taken this multi-pronged approach where we're going to get criminal legislation, but we're also going to go after the tech companies and get them to just voluntarily comply. And so last year, suddenly there was just this domino effect where all these social media companies decided they wanted to be good guys. And so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, Yahoo, Bing, they all created these revenge porn policies and bans on their platforms. So suddenly it was so much easier for victims to at least get the content removed so that, you know, even if there were still these dedicated revenge porn websites, at least our big social media companies would remove the intimate content.
So they take things down. They also de-index revenge porn. So if there's a search for a certain person's name, it won't come up.
Right. So one of the biggest and scariest things for clients, especially the young girls, is that their Google results are trashed. So imagine you Google your name and the first five pages are populated by links to porn sites that have naked pictures of you. And then imagine you're trying to get a job or a date or an apartment. I mean, we're nothing without our online reputation. I mean, it's just there's no differentiation between our online and our offline selves.
Look, just some pushback. You know, there are people who say it's someone's own fault if they've taken the selfies, if it's their pictures, you know, just a cautionary tale. There are also people who say, look, if women want to take pictures of themselves and share them with other people, then live with the consequences. And I think The New Yorker alluded to this. If everyone's naked pictures were out there, let's all be feminists and send our naked pictures out, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I love that argument that, well, if people really loved their bodies, then they wouldn't care about their naked pictures being everywhere. But, you know, this is really about autonomy and about the choice to prioritize privacy in whatever way we want. I mean, we don't have sexual privacy, but yet we have consumer privacy. Our social security numbers are protected. Our medical information is protected. Why do we not prioritize sexual privacy the same way?
Well, and another difference between this and, let's say, you know, having your picture in a Victoria's Secret catalog that goes viral is that these women are incredibly denigrated and attacked and targeted. I mean, it's dangerous. There are death threats. And against you as well. I mean, talk about that. The unhinged nature of the people who are looking at this stuff.
Right. I mean, there are dedicated revenge porn websites, and I swear it's people's full-time hobbies or jobs to just spend all their time figuring out the names and the addresses and as much personal identifying information as they can about the people whose pictures are non-consensually on these platforms. We also have a situation where exes sometimes create fake prostitution ads on Backpage.com and Craigslist advertising their ex for sex, giving the address of their ex and saying, oh, she really likes rape fantasies and oh, this is where she works. She's going to probably ignore you or seem really confused, but, you know, just wait around until her break and then she's going to, you know, want it. And so again, you have all these strangers that then just stalk the victims.
Well, so, Carrie Goldberg, what do you want to see? You know, there are concerns about First Amendment issues. You know, journalists, for instance, feel sometimes the need to post certain pictures because it has to do with a criminal case. I mean, you know, you can't have a federal law banning any kind of pictures of people. What would you like ultimately to see?
Well, I certainly do not want a federal law that's banning any kind of picture. I mean, there's like all our criminal laws, they can be narrowly tailored to the exact conduct that we're trying to regulate. And it's interesting to me that there's so much combat about these revenge porn laws. And there's this argument that, okay, you know, we've got enough laws, we're good, as if the evolution of technology doesn't require an evolution of law as well.
Carrie Goldberg heads the law firm C.A. Goldberg. She's an advocate for people who've been victims of revenge porn, online sexual harassment. Carrie, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.